Welcome. As you can see, we are going to be talking about the Link Developer Platform. And David here on my left is going to be taking us through an awesome range of demos.
Great. Thanks, Barry.
Exciting stuff. So I work in the Link technical marketing team. Previously, I was with the Skype organization. I built the Skype contact center, so probably did a little bit of programming about a couple of years ago. But since then, I've been full on marketing the Link capabilities. So over to you, David.
Great. So by way of a quick introduction, my name is David Newman. I work for the Link product engineering team, and my team specifically runs our external facing developer program. So we work with ISVs primarily, also partners and customers who are doing custom development on top of the Link platform. So I'm excited to be here today for this first session about the developer platform. We also have a subsequent follow-up session where we'll be doing more of a deep dive onto the Unified Communications Web API. But today, we're going to be looking at a general overview of your development options using Link. And really, I want you to leave this session with a good idea about which API you can use and when, and also some key scenarios that we're going to show through demos that you can actually implement for your own company and for your customers. Just before we get started, just a reminder, if you're interested in joining us tonight for a Link MVP Pub Trivia Night, we have a couple extra spots available. So if you're interested, tweet a photo from this session to Link TEE for a chance to win a spot to that tonight, which is happening before the beach party event later tonight. Very, very quick overview of what we'd like to cover today. So we're going to start out with a bit of context and some history on the Link product itself and also on our progression with the development of this UC platform for developers. We'll look at that platform vision and dive into some of that architecture so you can understand before we jump into the demos the different pieces that are a part of that Link platform story. What I really want you to leave this session with is a good idea of which APIs to use and when, and also an idea of what's coming in our developer platform story in the future. So my team in particular runs some of the pre-release programs for our Link APIs. So today we'll be sharing a little bit about that roadmap, and also you'll be seeing some demos of some future capabilities that are coming out in the near term.
Great. So before we get started, though, you may have noticed a piece of news that hit the Skype blog on Monday. So we announced the availability in IE of the ORTC API for WebRTC. This is important because it effectively moves the Skype organization, and that's both Skype and the Link side of things, to a plug-in-free experience for the end user within the browser. We've been working extensively with the standards organizations with the agenda of promoting an object model for the API approach. So right now, the only news we're sharing is that we're working on this within IE. However, you can anticipate the inclusion of ORTC and those capabilities within a future version of WebRTC, possibly 1.1. So just keep tracking this. You'll see it evolve. No more news today, but this is a step in a new direction and an important direction for us. That is quite a squeaky door at the back there, but we'll keep going. So we're going to start off with a little bit of background for those of you that are new, just to kind of set the scenes on where we've come from so you can understand sort of the framing of how we move our developer platform forwards. So those of you that have a few gray hairs, and I'm certainly one of them, will remember that way back when, actually, Microsoft was an early leader in the telephony API space. We were out in market with a bunch of Tappy versions. They were widely used by the hardware vendors, but that's actually the only important message that I wanted to pass concerning Tappy, is that with all of the depth and breadth of experience around Tappy, ultimately it was still a hardware-based solution. And Bill Gates had an agenda that we move forwards to a full software-based model for interacting with real-time communications. And the first sort of wave of that occurred in the 2002-2003 sort of time frame. So there was a conferencing server capability that was included with Exchange 2000. That conferencing capability allowed you to do instant messaging conferencing with groups of people. And very quickly, by 2003, we announced our first delivery of what would later become Link, but started out as Live Communication Server. Just a show of hands, how many of you started your real-time experience with Live Communication Server, LCS? Yeah, so a few of us. So back in those days, APIs were available, and we've evolved those. But effectively, this was our step into a software-based model aligned with the other applications we were delivering on the server side, and effectively changed the way that real-time communications was delivered within the enterprise. However, the next sort of major milestone was the realization that what we were handing back to customers, end users, was choice. They were able to choose how people communicated with them, as well as choosing how they communicated with people. So effectively handing over choice about the types of devices that they use, as well as choices about the modality that they use to communicate with. And that's critically important. As the market evolves, that choice has become a sort of a table stake. It's totally expected that people would drift quickly between one modality and another. It's, for example, in a contact center environment, it's very normal for us today to be offered the choice of a chat with a call center agent before we get into a real-time voice call, and maybe even escalate up to video, who knows. But that choice, of course, is pervasively used across the enterprise today. Link, we're very proud of the adoption of Link, and Link's been very successful. And so that choice is more or less pervasive today around the enterprise space, fully embedded with applications, etc. So unified communications offers up choice to the end users. But as we evolved, of course, we moved through LCS into OCS and later Link 2010. I wasn't with Microsoft in the early OCS days. I worked in a distribution business in Europe. However, the adoption of OCS was already very clear that Microsoft had a really strong story. And this capability of providing choice meant that we needed to round out the solution and include telephony features. So with OCS and then Link, those telephony features have continued to expand, and today it is quite possible to do without a PBX. We've moved to an environment where many organizations still have PBXs in their organizations, but most of them have realized that the PBX has sort of served its purpose. It's been around for quite a time. It's more or less the mainframe of the communications industry. But as we move forwards, we fully expect that PBXs won't be in the future for our customers. And quite frankly, applications, and this session is critically important for that, because a lot of the applications that we deliver as we move forwards help to replace corner case applications that are currently delivered, for example, IVR capabilities, automatic call distribution, etc., finding their way into server-based implementations that sit on the back end of the APIs that we'll be talking to you about today. So Gartner, the analyst, recently ranked Microsoft's Link solution within the leaders quadrant for enterprise telephony. So you can see that from an early beginning, somewhat modest start, very quickly we've become a mainstream vendor in the eyes of the Gartner analysts, currently considered a leader in the telephony space. So as we move forwards, we would fully expect that telephony is already acquired by the system. So what do we do next? The obvious thing is to continue to expand our capability in terms of reach. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, with Link, obviously we moved from being a pure desktop play to actually moving into the web browser. So joining meetings in a browser experience has now been delivered for quite some time, but moving into mobile experiences as well. So continuing to push the reach out to more and more places, anticipating the places that people need to communicate with. Not really our choice. We simply need to follow what the user base needs to do as they communicate every day with the devices that they prefer to bring into the office. So the BYOD, or bring your own device type model, is something that we work with day to day, and obviously the APIs need to support that kind of model. But the web helps us get there, and that announcement that we made on Monday around embedding Skype calling capabilities directly into the web browser are critically important for us to be able to reach as many endpoints as possible. But obviously the key brand that we need to talk about here is Skype. You may not be aware of this, but just so you can understand how critically important it is for organizations, enterprises, to anticipate the use of Skype, Skype currently accounts for 38% of global international calling. Now, that's a critically important number, because what it says is there is a groundswell of users. They're either consumers, they may be small businesses, but they're using Skype today, every day, to communicate when they go across international boundaries. Now, how do enterprises anticipate the availability of that real-time communication capability? And by the way, it's obviously going to include multimodal communications. 45% of Skype calls are actually video calls. Now, that's an astounding number, and what that means is, as we develop new creative applications, if we can anticipate that the end user already either has a web browser perfectly capable of doing embedded Skype calling, or alternatively a Skype application with an account somewhere, we can anticipate that and then deliver full multimodal contact centers and other applications, demonstrate our products in real time with customers, establish relationships with them. So critically important, and Skype plays a key role, but it's a key role that supports a strategy of extending the reach that we deliver to our Link customers. So as you think about an enterprise deployment, we can reach further by leveraging Skype, we can reach further by leveraging the web browser, the announcement on Monday, but this moves us to a new era of universal communications. The idea that for both work and life experiences, your personal life as well as your work life, you have a single communications environment that you can leverage for your day-to-day communications. So that ends my introduction. I'm going to hand over to David, but just before I do that, I have an earnest hand waver in the room who doesn't have a microphone. So we're either going to pause this until we can get the microphone to you. No, I think we'll pause. I'm going to hand over to David. When we've got the mic, we'll take your question. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Barry. That's a great lead-in from going from universal communications to talking about the developer platform. And the reason for that is because our strategy is very focused on enabling developers to extend Link out of the box into their own applications, so that we can fully extend the reach of Link and Skype across work and life. So our platform vision is really, we want to enable you to embed communications into every application. So we understand as a product that it's very important for us to enable developers to actually put these capabilities into app, because those apps are actually acting as communications endpoints. They're adding more users into our network. So if you think about the killer applications that have driven Link adoption, it's not only our ISV apps, but if you think about the history of the one major killer app that helped with the adoption of Link and users into the Link network, it's Outlook. So when you think about Outlook integration, it's a separate application, but you're embedding communications capabilities as a part of Outlook from anything from presence to starting direct conversations from your mail. That, from the history, was one of the key pieces of driving users into Link. And we actually have taken that same strategy where we want to enable the same first-party integration that we do with our own products. We want to enable our third-party app developers to do that same integration. Coming from that vision, my team's mission is essentially to empower you to actually build these full-featured, full-modality, immersive applications that include real-time communications capabilities. So we provide an extensive set of both server and client-side APIs that we're going to go through in depth here in order for you to be able to enable those communications experiences. So we work with ISVs across various verticals, from healthcare to manufacturing to financial services, along with major horizontal industries. So we have partners who are building full Link native contact centers on top of our development platform. So anything from as simple as simply embedding presence into your line of business application to building a full contact center routing type application using Link, we are going to enable you to do that using our platform. So you likely all are familiar with the Link products out of the box. So we won't really be covering the capabilities around Link in general, but from what you know, we are supporting those communications capabilities across various platforms and devices. So you can see here we have Link clients that are supported across various devices. Like Barry was saying, we live in a changing world with communications now where it's not about the desktop anymore. It's really about these other endpoints, including web and mobile. And what you can see here is that actually three of these platforms here are powered by an API that we're going to dive deeply into this session and the next session. So the Unified Communication Web API powers our own first-party applications. This is not an API set that's just created just for third-party developers to use. It's a robust platform that we actually use to build our first-party applications. So I think that's a key point to remember about this platform. So I got this slide actually from a colleague of mine. So an executive had asked him, what exactly does this platform do? Why would I use this Link development platform? And my colleague listed pages and pages of different capabilities. Here's what you can do. Here's all the different features. And the executive said, I can only remember three things. Distill it down to three things. So what he distilled it down to was streamlining communications between people, having a machine talking to people, or having a person talking to the machine. So to expand on that, what does that actually mean? So the first is enhancing communications between two users. So a couple key examples of those are enhanced presence, which I'll show in a second. So that can include programmatically setting presence into a line of business application. For example, you can imagine in contact center, there's a lot of need for customization of certain presence states. It's not always the standard available, busy in a call. There may be certain states that you want to customize for your particular application. So we enable you to do that as part of the platform. Another key capability there is a click to communicate. From within your app, you want to launch out to a communication session. You want to have that communication session, in a lot of cases, actually embedded right inside of your application instead of launching out. You want that user to have, again, this is the communication context piece, you want the user to have not only communications, but the context of where you are in your application. The next major pillar is to cut down human latency. So a lot of that major scenario is around sending out automated notifications using Link. So that's one of our key platform capabilities that we see partners using automated bots to send out messages, for example, or actually having bots basically interact with that user to get some information for them, for example, a survey, or perhaps collecting information that can be stored for later directly from that IM conversation. Another interesting scenario, and we'll also look at a demo of this, is using that capability to actually find experts within an organization and using experts-based and skills-based routing to actually route communications and calls from certain users to other people that they want to reach into that organization. The last thing I want to talk about is this final pillar, which is really about these contact center type capabilities. So the first is web chat, and we're going to see a few examples of that, of being able to communicate from a web page to a user who's on link. So you can imagine that we'll really dive into some of those business to customer type scenarios that you can enable with the platform. That also includes automated query response bots, having a triage type system where you're communicating with a bot, or an IVR type system where you're getting responses back from that bot. You could, example, be querying for more information. That's one of our key scenarios that we see developed by our contact center ISVs. So before we do the demos and walking through, I want to give a quick overview of what your development options are today with Link and where we're going and what some of the new options are going to be for you in the future. So just so I'm aware, how many here have actually done any Link development before? Okay, so probably about a quarter or under a quarter. So I'm going to lay out some of those options that you have for doing some custom development with Link. So first we'll look at the server-side development. So your primary API, if you're looking to really get started with server-side development or creating trusted applications, is called the Unified Communications Managed API. So this is our primary server-side API that's used to actually build applications that are trusted by the Link server. So that can be anything from call routing applications, contact center queuing type capabilities, building those automated IM bots, or building an IVR type application. We'll dive deep into this and look at some samples through the demos. The other server-side application that you would be looking at is the Link Server SDK. So this is less used than the UC managed API as a server-side API, but what this actually allows you to do is to create filters that can plug into the Link front-end server so that you can actually inspect SIP traffic that's going over the wire. Some uses for that you can imagine is creating compliance apps. In particular, we see that as a major area for financial services customers. Doing archiving by examining those messages, creating ethical walls using that API. From a client side, our primary development options are first, and this is the first is the Link Client Managed API, which is historically the first API that we released for client-side development. What that API allows you to do is actually to automate the running instance of your Link client. So what you can do there is you can actually create your own UI that plugs into what's happening in the Link client. So you could customize the UI of Link. We actually provide a set of UI controls that you can actually use WPF controls to embed within your own application. Now, a key point that I want to call out here is that this API has a dependency on a running Link client. So it's essentially automating that instance of the Link client. There's some modes where you can do UI suppression, so the user actually doesn't see Link client. All they see is your application. Now, the latest API, and again, this is the one that we're going to really deep dive into in the next session, is the Unified Communications Web API. So this is our latest generation API that essentially exposes Link server capabilities through a REST interface, through a web interface. So as Barry talked about, we're in a world now where communications is happening primarily over web and mobile devices. So this API was created so that you can actually create cross-platform web and mobile apps that are communicating with Link server over HTTP. So gone are the days of SIP, and if you're familiar with SIP, you'll understand the fact that for web and mobile apps, SIP just actually doesn't cut it. So SIP is actually very noisy, so there's a lot of messages that are being sent back and forth. When you think about optimizing for mobile and for battery life, for example, you don't want to be sending across a lot of messages at all times. So we abstract away some of those details of SIP and expose it in this REST HTTP interface. And one thing I like to call out here is that there's actually no dependency on having a link client running on that machine. So we're going to see some B2C, business-to-customer type applications where, from a web page, we're enabling some of these capabilities, but that user actually doesn't have link installed on their machine. They're essentially getting those communications directly from the server using that HTTP interface. So that was a bunch of words. Now I kind of actually want to just build the platform out so you can visually see what that architecture looks like and where do each of these APIs kind of sit in that link server platform stack. So first, pretty basic, we have link server and we have the link desktop client. First platform piece that we want to add that we expose to third-party developers. So this is the link managed API, the link client API that I talked about on the last slide. So like I mentioned, this sits basically on top of the link desktop client, and you can basically automate that running list instance of the link desktop. You can include WPF controls inside of your application. We have a set of Silverlight controls you can also use. And you can use those to actually embed within your own applications these communication capabilities, and also the ability to, say, start a video call and jump out from your app into the link client and kind of start that video conversation right away. I've seen this before likely in a lot of Office integration. So if you're in Outlook, for example, and you see Presence embedded in Outlook, and you want to jump, you see that user's online and you want to jump directly to a call with them, you hover over that user, and then you have a control that you basically see the different capabilities and you can launch out to link. So that, again, is built using this link managed API. From our partner's perspective and for customers, we actually see a lot of solutions that are built to create a custom link interface for kiosk applications. So for a lot of particular scenarios, the standard link UI is not what is needed for that customer. So in order to create a custom UI that has those same link capabilities, you would use this link managed API, and there's actually a mode called UI suppression where you can suppress the current UI of link and build your own UI on top of that. The other really cool thing that we're going to look at in a couple demos is actually this conversation window extension. So when you're in a conversation in Link, the window extension actually allows you to extend that current conversation happening and actually put your own app directly within that frame that's right beside that Link conversation. So there's a lot of cool applications that you can do with that API. So now let's kind of build out those two server-side pieces. So sitting on top of Link Server directly is the Unified Communications Managed API. So this was created, again, as our first developer platform that we exposed to third-party developers because we wanted to abstract away those details of SIP and expose a managed code C# interface. And again, a lot of those scenarios that you can enable using UCMA include automated bots, notifications, some of these contact center type capabilities. If you're going to build out an IVR, if you're going to be doing any sort of call routing or skills-based routing, ACD, you would want to use this this managed API. And also through here, this is kind of the lowest level API that we give access to. So from here, we also have a lot of partners that are, again, building gateways using UCMA. And again, Link Server API, not quite as commonly used, but it's over on the side here. That's, again, for inspecting SIP traffic and creating compliance type or routing applications. So now on top of UCMA, we take that to the next level. UCWA, or UCWA, which stands for the Unified Communications Web API, is an API that actually now abstracts the details of UCMA and exposes that into a REST interface. So you can see here, there's an HTTP layer, and that's where your apps are actually going to be accessing those communications capabilities. So the key value here and why this is our latest generation API is that you can actually build applications where Link Client might actually not normally run. So this is cross-platform. We'll dive into some demos in the next session of UCWA running on platforms that you wouldn't expect. So tomorrow I'll be showing a demo on a Raspberry Pi running this UC Web API and using communications on that platform. So it's really, really cross-platform, focused on web and mobile. So this web API that I'm talking about, we actually use that to build our own first-party applications. So Link Mobile, if you've ever used Link Mobile before, or if you've used the Link Web app, that technology is actually built using this UC Web API that we also expose to third-party developers. Same set of communications capabilities. So you see here, your web apps are, again, we're focused on enabling you to create those web apps that, again, onboard those users into communications from your apps. So that's kind of where we were today. So looking a little bit ahead and also what we're kind of looking at in pre-release right now. So built on top of that web API, which is a signaling layer, we've actually now built a JavaScript object model on top of that layer. So this object model actually allows you to, and with that comes a set of UX controls. This object model essentially lets you embed those capabilities with just a few lines of code. The key value add here for this object model is that not only are we exposing the communication capabilities through UCWA, we're actually adding full media capabilities to that API. So what does that mean? That means that currently with web apps, what we're focused on enabling you is to actually embed now full audio, video, and desktop sharing directly into your web applications with no running dependency on having the Link client installed on the machine. So I highlighted the media piece here, and this is, again, what Barry was talking about earlier with the plugin-less ORTC model. So currently today with this pre-release API, we're actually providing those media capabilities through a browser plugin. And the reason for that is because that standardization is still being worked out through that plugin-less model. And as Barry mentioned, now IE and Skype and Link are now involved in that work of creating that plugin-less media stack as natively as a part of the browser. So for today, we provide that media capability through an ActiveX browser plugin install. The promise that we have to developers here is that this object model that we expose those media capabilities through, if you're building apps today that use that object model, that API layer will stay the same regardless of what media stack we're plugging into. So we're running a pre-release program currently for these capabilities. And once you see the demos, if you're interested in kind of getting early access to those, providing some feedback, my team runs those programs. So please come and talk to me after that. But we're making the promise here that even though today we're using a media plugin to provide those capabilities across all major browsers, down the line, once we support that plugin-less media stack, that same capability will require no extra install from the user. So the next phase in that development across web is obviously making the jump now to mobile. So currently today, using the UC Web API, you can actually embed capabilities into any mobile app that you have, whether it's an iOS app, whether it's an Android app, whatever platform it is. What's missing today is the media portion. So what we're going to provide to you, and this is coming a little bit on our roadmap, is we're going to actually provide native mobile SDKs that you can actually use to now actually embed these capabilities directly into your mobile apps. So today, what you can do is everything up to IM conversations, you can do contacts, grabbing presence. That'll work for your mobile applications. And down the line, we'll also be now enabling and giving you an SDK with controls that you can essentially drag and drop into your mobile app so that your user doesn't have to jump out to the full link client. They can actually use these embedded controls inside of your app. So the other thing I want to call out, you probably noticed on this architecture diagram that, hey, that's link server that you have there at the bottom. What's going on and what's happening with link online support? So currently today, I want to share what's coming up very soon and where our priorities are. Currently today, your only development option for link online is that link managed API that automates the running of the link client. What we're going to be lighting up very, very soon is actually first, the first phase will be allowing you to create UCWA applications that work against link online. So that'll be our first step, and we're very focused on that because we want to enable you to create these cloud applications. Now, something you're probably thinking is, the existing UCMA apps, so the contact center type applications that exist today, how are those going to actually work with link online deployments? And the reason that that question comes up is because those UCMA applications are actually trusted by the link server. So your IT administrator, you need to provide trust to the link server for that. So that process is not going to be the same for the general link online. So to address this, what we're actually going to provide is this now RESTful application API where you can create some of those contact center routing applications, automated bots, IVR type systems, now using this RESTful interface. And we'll provide the way to actually register your service applications against link online. And so your minds might be now thinking about what sort of scenarios does that include? And one of those key scenarios that we're looking at is essentially enabling cloud contact center type capabilities through Link. And the other thing I want to call out there is that we've also got a new piece here that showed up is video support. So one of our major asks from customers is we want to do a video contact center type application. So we're focused on enabling that key scenario as a part of this platform, not only for Link Server, but also for Link Online. All right, one final thing. So that was a general overview. One final thing before we get to the real meat of the session, which is the demos, is I just want to highlight that the demos that I'm going to be going through most of them were developed by our team as showcase applications about the different capabilities of the Link platform. What I want to call out here is that make sure that you don't have a misconception that these platforms are only and these APIs are only suitable for demo type applications. We actually use these APIs for our first party products for Link. So that'll just give you an idea of how we've put in the effort to make this a robust platform, and we also want to expose that to our third-party developers as a part of that. So we have a large, diverse ecosystem of Link applications already out there. I won't take too much time to dive into those types of apps, but if you are interested, and really, I can only show you so many things. It's really our partners and our developers who actually take it to the next level by embedding those communications in unique ways inside of their applications. So if you want to check out some interesting apps, check out the ISV qualified apps page or just do a search for Link applications. There's also a Link catalog out there. We have applications that are range from everything from an attendant console solution to a full contact center based on Link to some line of business applications that are embedding presence or embedding click-to-call type capabilities as a part of that flow. There's solutions that are across healthcare, financial services, education, government, manufacturing. And a lot of these businesses, actually, their core business is based upon this Link platform. There's a broad range where there's ISV companies that are out there selling solutions, and that's their core business. There's also, and this might be key for many members of this audience, there's also a lot of Link customers that as part of their Link deployment, they require custom application development. So they'll require certain scenarios where they want to have communications embedded in their specific line of business app. And so this platform is also used extensively as a part of that ecosystem. One key example, again, and we'll look at a little demo of this, is internally at Microsoft, we actually are leveraging these Link platform capabilities for our own IT help desk. So traditionally, the user would dial into a traditional IVR, they would phone the number, figure out their options, go through the system, and then get connected to an agent. So a couple key stats there. 63 seconds spent in that IVR going through kind of the traditional phone process. And that, again, with the number of calls that you get through a year, translates to 873 business days lost. Now, taking this same scenario and now applying the Link platform and some of the Link capabilities, we actually use the Link platform to allow internal employees to call into the help desk and essentially get an extra conversation window extension as soon as they're contacting the help desk through Link. As a part of that, they get a visual IVR that they can actually go through and, you know, select specifics about their issue and then make it through that IVR and get actually directly connected to an agent who has expertise in that particular area. So just a couple stats, but they found that using that visual IVR process actually saved a significant amount of time, and using Link instead for that customer support type customer care scenario, we saved actually a lot of money through our own internal contact center help desk. And again, this is a little image. We'll look at an example of this in the demo, but this is something what that extra extension window looks like within Link. And there's actually a lot of partners who sell solutions for Link that specifically do similar examples like this. So it's an extra window on the side. Instead of calling into the help desk, I actually will Link the help desk, and I'm actually start out by talking to this automated bot and basically clicking through this visual IVR, selecting some details. I can see my current tickets that I have open, see known issues that are already happening, get some more information, contextual information that's a part of that key conversation. All right, great. So now I actually want to just jump right in. So we got about 30 minutes, and I really want to focus on getting through all these different demos. And then at the end, we'll leave a little bit of time for questions. So I'm going to jump over now to my other machine.
Bless you.
All right, so the first demo that I want to show here is I talked about that extending the concept of presence. So what we have here actually, I've got my Link client open over here on the right. And then I actually have this custom application that was built using the UC Managed API. And it was built using that API because this app actually has trust with the server and will actually let me make changes to this particular user. So if you hadn't heard of these capabilities before, you should know that there's actually custom presence type capabilities within Link. Most of you are probably familiar with the standard presence information that we have over here, the standard presence states. But using this app, what I can actually do is customize those presence states and customize the color of the presence and also, excuse me, what that string actually says for the presence. So, for example here, through this app, I can actually set myself to giving a tech ed presentation instead of setting myself the busy. So if I click publish, you'll see that my presence is now no longer busy. It's actually set to something specific. So one of my colleagues, He plays the drums, so he created this published activity that he can set himself to a way playing the drums. Now, the primary use case of this is that within applications, and this is primarily seen in contact center, there's actually certain states that an agent could be in that's outside of the standard busy, available, or in a call. You actually want to track what that agent is in more detail. So through our APIs, you actually have the capability to actually customize that present state. So I'm going to set myself back to available. Let's do a reset. So the next thing I want to show is that example of a visual IVR type application. So if we go, and you know what, actually, really quick before that, I want to show another example of a conversation window extension application that extends the link conversation that's currently happening. So what I'm going to do is actually start a quick conversation with this test user I have here. So I've started a conversation with Tosh. What I'm actually going to show you is one of these conversation window extensions that's built using the Link SDK. So this particular app is called the Link Conversation Window Extension, the Translator. You can see here that my window is now extended. I don't just have this kind of IM space over here. I also have this app that's living over here in this space. This app was actually created in order to integrate with the Bing Translator APIs so that you can actually have a conversation with somebody who's not speaking the same language that you are directly from within Link. So this is actually publicly available if you want to go download this. But you can see here that I have options where I can basically select what their language is. I can select what my language is. I'll keep it as Spanish there. Click OK. So then what I'm going to do now here is type in a message to this user who is Spanish. I'll click this button over here, and you see it directly translates that message for me. So if I type in that message and press enter, now the message has been sent over. It actually was directly translated, and now sent the translated version has come through to this user. So now we're going to basically open up the conversation over here on this side. Oh, 1 second. Okay, it came through. Let's scroll down for a second. Okay, so now from here, I can actually send let's pretend this user was speaking to me in Spanish. I can actually send a message back. For example, what would I... This is a useful Spanish message coming back in. So you can see it came back in Spanish, this useful phrase, and then it was actually just translated directly into this window. So this is an example of a useful Link client app.
We're back.
Are we back? Okay, great. The next app I want to show is another example of the window extension. So this here is that customer support IT help desk that I was talking about. So at Microsoft, we actually have this implemented. And you see here, I've got this bot added in my Link contact list. And when I actually say hi, what's going to happen is, again, this conversation window extension automatically opens up. We can see this actually looks like traditional IVR. So this is actually built using voice XML. And what you can see is that it is actually the traditional phone IVR, but we've added in this visual IVR on the side. So this is a basic example. For example, I could go through, select looking at Windows. I'm having a Windows 8 issue. And then what's going to happen now that I selected that particular area, I'm actually getting a callback now from the contact center. So again, this is just the demo setup, but you would get a call from a specific agent who has expertise in that particular skill set. This same IVR flow that's built using UCMA and Link actually works when you just dial in by phone. So you'll get a traditional readout, select your options, select one, select two. It's the same flow, but now it's built in also into Link. So those are a couple examples of using that window extension directly from within Link client. Now, what we've actually done too, and we've enabled, is that you can actually do that same customer support type scenario directly from a web page now. So your users might be coming through a web page instead of actually being on Link client. So look, this looks like the similar type of flow. I'm kind of walking through my issues. For example, I have a Windows 8 issue. Now, in this particular demo, what it's going to do is actually log me in as a user. And you can see in this case, it's actually saying we just found an available agent. I'm logged in as the agent over here. I'm going to accept the call. And in this case, we showcased actually we set up a meeting using our API. So we automated that meeting setup. My agent was asked to join in that meeting, which I just accepted here. And then you can see here that now I can click and join into this meeting that's going to be happening with this Link agent. So right now I'm just being joined into it. I can type my name. And you'll probably recognize this interface from the Link web app if you've ever used the web app before. But this is actually embedded right in the web page. So we have these communication capabilities. Now I can start video. The other user can start video. Join the video call. Get some feedback here. So now we're actually joined into this meeting that's happening directly from the web. The user has been joined in and didn't actually have to log in or launch out to their full Link client. Another example of this support scenario, so I'll just leave this and jump back. Another example of this support scenario would be you want to start off that user with, say, before you jump directly to a voice call, that user might want to have an IM conversation. So here we'd have the user enter their credentials and their information for the company, log in, and then what's happening here is that now I'm getting a message as the agent over here to join the call. Now I can say, hello, can I help you? And now that message has come through into the web page. And now this is built out using the UC web API. So you can see that we've embedded a full IM conversation directly into the web page using this web API. And I can send messages back. And you can see now I have a full communications conversation happening now, IM conversation between my web page and this user or agent who's actually on Link. So we'll look at some more complex examples of this. So the next demo that I want to show is building upon that unified communications web API. So how can you embed communications inside of your own web apps? So the next demo that I want to look at is an example of a line of business application flow. And please excuse the UI of this web page. It's for demonstration purposes only. But you can imagine that this is an internal app at this company. Metio Inc. You can see it's essentially a proposal tracker, so I'm in here. I can see the project teams. I can see my own presence up here. I can see information about my proposal team. I have the ability directly from this web page to actually start a communications conversation with them as a part of this flow. For example, let's say I'm looking through projects that are in this one. This is just a standard web page. These communication capabilities are all happening over HTTP. We'll go into some of the technical details in the session tomorrow. As a part of this proposal team, we can see that we can actually start a conversation. And what we actually created for this demo is a set of automated IM bots. So we can see these users. If I actually try to start a conversation, if I say hi, what's happening is I'm actually getting some automated responses coming back. And over on the right, I'm seeing some contextual information. So although we made the branding around this look like Link, you can actually see that we are actually completely still embedded within this web page. We never launched out. We're directly within this flow. With this automated bot, what I can actually do now is actually type in a particular area. And we've actually built the logic using UCMA and the Link APIs to actually give us some intelligent responses from the bot. So I'm querying this bot, asking about schedule, and I'm getting back, yes, we're on track to complete on time. You can see what happened is that when I started this conversation with this user, their status went to busy. And this is just an automated bot. When I end the conversation, you can see their status updates back to available. Well, let's go back to the main page here. So that's a very simple example of embedding within a web page. We're going to ramp up, and I'll show you some of the video embedded capabilities in just a second. Next quick demo I want to show is actually I talked about the web API being cross-platform across different devices. So the demo I want to look at today that uses the web API is an example of a Windows 8 modern application, so an application that would be running on your Windows 8 Slate device. The scenario behind this demo is we actually have a cab driver who has a Surface inside of their cab. They're actually using that Surface to actually pick up passengers. So this particular demo does some integration with the Bing Maps API and has a modern app piece as a part of this. So I'm actually going to just open up this modern app called Halocab. And we can see here as I'm loading this app, whoops. Now you can see we're updating the location. I'm logged in now as this Link user. I've got this presence here. I can drive around and pick up calls, basically. But here you can see I can set myself onto a break if I've got a fare, or I can set myself back to available so that I'm available to receive some of those requests that are coming in. Now from a user perspective, we want the user doesn't have Link. They're not coming in from a Link endpoint. They're actually just coming in from a web page. They're either on their laptop or maybe they're likely on their mobile device somewhere in the city. So I'm going to just make sure I'm just going to reload this map page. And the user in a second is going to actually request for a pickup. And what's going to happen is that request is actually going to be routed to a cab driver whose actually his status is set to available. So let me reload this. Looks like we're loading slowly. Let me try this. Perfect. Okay, so it's got my location. So let's zoom in here. So let's say I'm in Barcelona right now. I want to go to Sagrada Familia. I'm going to hail a cab, jump back over to the agent. Now you can see that the agent actually has this message coming in. There's been a ride requested. I'm going to confirm pickup. jump back over to this user. There's been a driver located. Yes, I'll confirm I want to get picked up. Now, here's where we're going to see some more of the communication capabilities. So here we can see there's an IM conversation happening. So obviously, as a driver, you don't want to be sending IMs while you're in the cab. So what we've done is we created a set of automated messages and messages that you can send automatically just by touching on the screen. So here, for example, this cab driver can say to the user, give me 5 more minutes. We'll jump back over to the web page. What we can see is that the user on the page is actually now receiving those IMs. What's happening under the hood here, and that we'll go into more details in the next session, is that this user is actually being anonymously joined into a link meeting. So the authentication that happened here, this user doesn't have link credentials. They're just an end customer who wants to speak to somebody on link. They don't know that the communications happening on the back end is actually through link. But now you can see I actually have the ability to send a message back. And then we go back to the modern app. And again, this is across platforms. So this could be an app running on iOS. And we see that the IM conversation actually comes through. So the next demo I want to show is an example of that, that notifications outgoing messages that we talked about a little bit earlier. So here you can see I've got this. Let me reload just in case and sign back in as a user. So I'm logging in again through the web page here. And what I'm going to do, let me log in now as this user into Link Clients. Okay, we're now logging into Link. So with this user connecting, there we go, I'm logged in. What I'm actually going to do now is just create a set of notifications that should be sent to this user. So we see a lot of partners, for example, creating solutions using this that, for example, security type applications for your company. So if there's a security issue, again, in your building or something, and you need to send out a mass message to all Link users, you can use this capability through our APIs to actually send out these automated notifications. So, for example, here, let's just call test message. I can select to send this either by voice, so give them a call through Link, or to actually just send an IM message. So I'll just do an IM message for the sake of demonstration. There's the test message. Actually, did I miss? Yeah, I missed the schedule. So you can actually select a recurring time to actually send out these notifications if it's for some specific need or just for this one time. I'll just send one for now. And we'll see that once I click send, you see this notification actually just came through right away to Link. And you can see that the message that I sent as a part of that. And you can automate that for your specific needs as a part of your applications. So that's a quick example of that outgoing from machine to human type communications. So we got about 10 minutes. So I'm going to actually very quickly... I think I'm going to skip ahead to leave a little bit of time for questions. So I really want to show that the embedded audio-video capabilities that we talked about earlier. So this is some of our latest capabilities through our platform. And in this particular scenario, we're focused and thinking about a business-to-customer type interaction using Link as that UC backbone. So we've designed this financial services website, banking website, where this user is actually now going to just log into the web page. So, log in here. So now you can see what happens. We're seeing already in the page some of these web API capabilities. So I've logged in as this user. What I can actually see is that over on the right now, I have this embedded IM conversation already happening as soon as I log in. So here I'm getting some messages, and again, we're using in this scenario an automated triage bot. So when I'm on the site, I'm getting some messages depending on what I'm doing. Here we can actually see that I've got embedded presence and an embedded contact card right here for my financial advisor. I'm actually going to log in now on Link as that financial advisor. Okay, let's put this. All right, so now I'm logging in, connected as this particular agent. And now we see my status set to available. So there we go. I logged in. It updated my status now to available. If I change my status, it's going to update here directly in the web page through that web API. So the first thing I want to show here is that the one scenario is that you have a dedicated financial advisor, and you want to start a video chat with them directly from the web page. So through this new API and object model layer that we're offering, you can actually start that audio-video conversation directly from here. So I'm going to start a video call. We can see the video window is opening. So I'm getting this toast, and it's because I'm logged in as the agent also on this computer. You can see the call is coming through. And you can see that my video feed here, that I'm seeing the video feed of this agent who's on Link. Now, normally you'd see two video feeds. It's because I'm calling from the same machine. But here we've chosen just to show the video of that financial services advisor, that agent. So what you're going to see when we release this shortly coming next year is that we're going to provide you with packaged web controls that you can HTML, JavaScript, that you can actually drag and drop into your web page. This is the UI won't look exactly like this, but you'll have a control that has full video capabilities. You see here, like I can jump to a full screen video conversation directly from the web page. If I close out of here. And then through Link, we can actually now add additional modalities that you are familiar with through Link. So for example, I can actually start desktop sharing. Let's say I wanted to share my screen with my agent so that they could actually see, you know, what I'm looking at. I had a couple questions for them. So I'll add desktop sharing. And then if we go back, I'm not sure if I clicked on that or not. Interesting, might not be in this version. We can do desktop sharing both ways, so let's actually try it from the agent side and see if we're enabled here. So the agent is offering to share their screen. And the request is not good. But so this, maybe this version that we're actively doing development doesn't have this, but The desktop sharing is supported, so that will also appear directly embedded within the web page in the same way that this audio-video conversation is happening. So one final thing I want to show as a part of this demo is that we are going to support, as a part of this web API, also the capabilities that you come to expect from Link. So that includes audio-video conferencing, desktop sharing, adding multiple users as a part of this web page. So because we have about 5 minutes left, I'm going to stop there. I got through most of the demos. We can open up for questions.
Yeah. I've got two distinct questions. One is aimed at Barry, because when you talked about Skype in particular, you said about 45% of Skype calls are on video. One of the first things I got asked when I joined the company I'm with now was why, when we have Link to Skype public IM connectivity, can we not get video on that? When public IM connectivity to Skype was announced about 18 months ago, it was supposed to be delivered round about now, and it hasn't appeared yet, and we can't get any news out of Microsoft on that one. I realize that's not really part of the development scenario, except that when I see a big Skype logo up there and I see video promoted in here, it kind of ties the whole thing back again.
So good question. Let me handle that one first, and then we'll queue up the second one. So we have a session tomorrow at around the same time on Link Skype connectivity, where we'll be showing that capability. Why the delay? Feedback from the early tests, so we were actually in market with a TAP program around this capability. Feedback was that we needed to support Skype IDs directly. We were asking customers to merge their Microsoft account with a Skype ID, and that was a journey that was very tortuous. So we pulled back from that. We're spending a bit more time getting a search mechanism built into the system. But we'll be doing those demos Friday, same time in this room. So by all means, join us then, and we'll take those questions there, if that's okay.
That's great. The second one is about the Link managed API. Mm-hmm. I had a requirement to do a lot of stuff, sending stuff into Link and bringing stuff out of Link from PowerShell. It is nearly impossible to get the install package, the runtime package, mm-hmm. unless you have got Visual Studio set up on your system and you have a Link client installed. Could you please look at just making that runtime available outside of the full SDK?
So the way I'm going to answer that question is that we actually are, we're more focused around now enabling that contextual data flow, whatever your flow is of data, primarily through the web API, which actually would handle some of those issues that you're having with having a dependency on having the Link client installed, having the dependency on Visual Studio. So that same contextual, I don't know if you're using that today, the contextual data channel through the Link SDK, we're enabling that now through the web API. So your path forward would likely be focusing on the web API?
It was a simple thing of saying, I have a user who wants to get some data from a persistent chat mm-hmm. dumped out into something else that can process it. Okay, and just copy and paste wouldn't do it. They need it basically to automate the process. In order to write that PowerShell script, it took me about half an hour to write the PowerShell script. It took me 3 days to get the runtime. Hmm. Okay, not least because I wasn't allowed to put the full Visual Studio on my laptop.
Right.
And so you can download the runner, you can download the SDK,
right.
But if you haven't got Visual Studio installed,
right.
You can't install it to get the runtime that you need to call the thing from PowerShell.
Yeah. My answer in short to that, we talk about it after, is that yes, there are certain dependencies around the Link Client SDK, and that's also one of the reasoning behind why we're more focused around enabling some of the same set of capabilities through that web API because of the same dependencies and runtime and issues that you're coming into.
Just a word, because people are leaving the room. We do depend on your evaluations of the session. We hope this has been helpful. Quick round of applause for David. Great demos there.
Thank you.
But if you do need to leave earlier, please do remember to do an eval of the session. It helps us know what we need to be presenting next time. But let's keep the questions coming.
Hi. My question is much more simple, I think. About call center example, can I also save the conversation at the end of...
Yes, you definitely can. So there's actually multiple ways to do that, to archive the conversations. There's some ways that are natively a part of Link. The Link and Exchange already does conversation archiving. You can actually write an app that will do that yourself also too.
Can I store them in my self database?
In your, sorry?
Can I store them in my database, conversations?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Will there be any sample in next sessions about?
About specifically around storing and archiving conversations?
Yes. If I start the conversation from my application, then yeah. I want to store it in my database as well.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. If your application endpoint, you can handle those conversations, in particular if it's just IM you're talking about. You can handle that from your application and handle those messages coming in and store that in your own database if that's what you prefer, rather than using the link archiving capabilities.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you.
What's your position with regards to the WebRTC in the interesting discussion about codecs, VP8, VP9 versus H.264? What position are you taking there?
I'm going to refer you back to that blog post because it does cover the issue. So have a quick read, but I can say that we're H.264 in that blog post. We're also supporting the Opus codec for audio, which was based on the Skype Silk codec. So we feel it's state of the art today. But do read the blog post; it's all in there. We're actually out of time, so we're no longer recording. So if you just want to huddle and ask questions closer to us, that'd be great.